Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, once again, winter quarter has come to an end, or is coming to an end. Fitting, isn't it, that we do so in sackcloth and ashes? And now begins the most exciting and tense, if you would, quarter of all of them. In a few short weeks, some of you will be vicars, serving God's people at the side of one of Christ's under-shepherds. Others will receive from God through his church the call to be one of God's prophets, not the fortune-telling, warrior-channeling type, to be sure, but a man through whom God will speak his word of law and sweet gospel. The people will love you for the sake of their Lord and of the office, at least at first. But the world will not. In the footsteps of prophets from Adam to Noah, to John the Baptist, from Peter and Paul to Luther and others, you will feel the wrath of the world. Yet as you do, you will have this comfort, that the Lord will reward those who receive you and will reward you as you receive his people. The text we have here is one that sometimes gets debated about whether it's for us or for the disciples, because this comes at the tail end of a whole bunch of instructions that Jesus is giving to the disciples as he sends them out into the surrounding countryside to bring the gospel for the first time to those people. There are a whole bunch of instructions about whether to bring money with you, not. Whether to bring an extra purse, not. How to receive someone as you enter into their household, and then solemn warnings that the world isn't going to particularly appreciate all of your efforts, but will reject you and may speak evil of you, and in the long run may even kill you. For after all, as they treat the Lord, they will also treat those whom the Lord has sent. But Jesus, to be sure that his disciples aren't completely crushed, reminds them that God will look after those who treat you kindly, and will also look out for you as you care for his people. Preaching God's word can bring two kind of opposite things, both great pleasure and great hardship. Great pleasure because you have the opportunity to tell people the good news of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and great hardship because you also have the opportunity to bring God's law to his people, and sometimes they don't particularly appreciate that law if you do your job right. God's people will indeed receive you kindly and care for you for the sake of Christ, but as sinful human beings, both God's people and the lost and the world around you also have this nasty habit of abusing you, sometimes for the very sake of the gospel and God's word that you preach. Sinful human beings, after all, don't take kindly to the thought that they themselves have nothing to do with their eternal destiny. They do not like the notion that they really are not in control of their life here on earth, thank you, even. And you are about to remind them of that day in and day out, week in and week out from the pulpit, sometimes twice a week during Lent and Advent. And they are not particularly always ready to receive that. Yet God promises us, too, that even when those that we love the most can react to the gospel and turn and be mean and nasty to us, when they can abuse us and perhaps even persecute us, that he loves us and cares for us, and those that receive us, he will bless. No matter what the circumstances of our ministry, after all, we are still called to be the servant of God's people. The temptation for a preacher is to stop at verse 40 and say, "See, I'm a prophet, treat me well and God will treat you well." But to not go on and apply the verses which follow. The first verse, which says that the person who receives a righteous person will also receive a righteous person's reward. There are, believe it or not, other righteous people in the congregation besides the pastor. And also, if you treat anyone with any kindness whatsoever, if he is the least of all the disciples, that you will also receive a reward. That means, yes, also those folks we like to call the alligators. The temptation in our human nature is to find every last piece of God's law and apply it in great abundance upon those people who oppose us and give us the most trouble, to treat the alligators as they deserve, at least in our book, and to heap law without gospel upon their shoulders, hoping that maybe you will break them in the process. This is not how God has instructed us to go to his people. The law has its place, to be sure, but also the gospel. And we're reminded over and over again that the gospel is to be the heart and soul of what we preach and the heart and soul of our ministry. Even those people who are the toughest to deal with are also deserving of God's word and his love, and to be received as his people, as much as we would rather not. It's very easy to take a look at the list of the people you have to visit in a week, and the people you know are going to give you grief, to put them at the very bottom, and go see the lady who likes to break out all of the wonderful goodies when you arrive in the door. But resist that temptation, brothers, because there's something salutary about pain when you bring it upon yourself in the service of God. And when you go and you minister to those people who are the hardest to minister to. Because, after all, if we shrink back and do not care for these people, we are not fulfilling the call which God has extended to us to preach the gospel to those he has put into our care. We are rejecting not only those people who are in our care, but we are rejecting our Lord as well, and turning our back on the reward which he hopes to give us for our service to those people. So you wonder, where does the strength come to minister to these people? It comes from the same place that all strength comes from for a Christian. It comes from our Lord, who served us and ministered to us even though we rejected him and turned our backs upon him, who was rejected by his very apostles as he went to the cross, who was rejected by all of humankind and nailed to the cross for our sake. Jesus was rejected so that we might be received by God. In his death, he opened the way to the Father for us and broke down the barriers that kept us from being received into his care. And now he provides for us from that very cross the strength to minister to even the blackest of the black sheep. He gives us his heart and his compassion for the lost, and gives us the words and the sacrament to go to them and bring the forgiveness of sins to them too. And he prepares also, finally, our reward and theirs, not in the little kind and wonderful things which, thank God, he allows us to experience while we're here, but in eternity itself, when he removes all sin and death and the power of the devil, and when we are received into God's hands. Here is truly the reward of the prophet, the reward of the righteous, the reward of the very little ones to whom we are called to minister. With that in mind, as we go forward, we can find strength to minister to people, even the most rascally of the bunch. Amen.